Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today's passage comes from Isaiah chapter 52 verse 13 through chapter 53 verse 12. Chapter 52 verse 13 through chapter 53 verse 12. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. Amen. So this prophecy is about Jesus, and I think we can just get straight into it. This prophecy is about Jesus. Many of us have heard of this passage before, Isaiah 52-53. And we have to just make it very clear this prophecy is about Jesus. Although it was given hundreds of years before Jesus walked the earth, and even though Jesus' name is not explicitly stated, when we compare the descriptions in our passage today with Jesus' own arrest, suffering, and crucifixion, we see that this is far more than coincidence. It is a prophecy that foretold what would happen to Jesus. Jesus was the suffering servant as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 52-53. And it's through this suffering servant that God will fulfill his plans. And I want to just take a look at a few verses that clearly show us the kind of suffering that Jesus went as described in chapters 52-53 of Isaiah. So Isaiah 52 verse 14 says that he was marred beyond human semblance. Isaiah 53 verses 2 to 3 says he was like a root that grew out of dry ground, lacking nourishment. He had no form or majesty or beauty that anyone would care about him, which is a big deal because he is God, which means he is majesty and beauty. Verses 7 to 9 says that he was despised and rejected by people, filled with sorrow and grief. People avoided him, which is again a big deal because he was their creator. He was oppressed, afflicted, slaughtered, judged, cut off, laid with the wicked, wronged, even though he did no wrong and he should have instead been glorified. He was oppressed and wronged. There's this great dissonance between who this servant really is and the kind of suffering he endured. And that's why this passage is all talking about the prophetic word of the coming suffering servant. And then verses 4 to 6 tell us why this suffering servant had to endure such suffering. He suffered because he suffered for us. Sinners in need of rescue. Sinners in need of salvation. Because we can't save ourselves. Notice the language, how it accentuates through repetition the word our. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, even though we esteemed him stricken, which means basically that we considered him undesirable. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And he did this because we have turned to our own ways. We had gone astray and walked away from God. Our own rebellion and sin caused him to go through this, and therefore the Lord has laid our iniquities on him. Also, he did these because we have grief, sorrows, transgressions, iniquities that God did not want for us. God saw the brokenness of humanity and wanted to redeem and save us. Therefore, he took the repercussions of our grief, sorrows, transgressions, and iniquities and laid it on Jesus in our stead. This was the only way we could be turned back after having gone astray. And what's even more shocking is verse 10. Verse 10 says that it was the Father's will to crush Jesus, to crush this suffering servant. Why is that? Well, it's because the suffering of this appointed servant would make many to be accounted righteous. The suffering of this appointed servant would make many to be accounted righteous. And his death would bear our iniquities. In other words, it would allow for many people to be forgiven of their sins and be made righteous in God's sight. He takes the place of sinners like us. Was this fair? Not at all. This servant did nothing wrong, and yet he was treated as though he was the worst sinner. But ultimately, the Father did this because he loves us, and he wants to save us through Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, probably one of the most famous verses in Scripture, most well-known Scriptures at least, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." The death of Jesus makes way for us to have life with him. It paves the path towards an intimate relationship with God, forgiveness of sins, adoption into God's family, eternal life, freedom from guilt and shame. And as Christians, the death of Christ should be a powerful change in our lives. That, combined with the resurrection of Jesus, changes everything. And of course, there may be seasons of our lives when we forget or when other things in life cloud our understanding of this, but Jesus' death is a fundamental and transformative belief of the Christian faith. The coming of Christ is not only significant because of the birth of Jesus, but because of the fulfillment of this suffering servant, that through Christ's arrest, suffering, and death on a cross, he poured out his soul to death, and our sins have been forgiven. And so today, I want to invite us to remember the death of Christ, the suffering servant. Let's give thanks to the Lord for the forgiveness of our sins. And let's pray that more people might come to know just how much God loves us. So much so that he sent his only Son to suffer in our stead, so that we might not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today and for the fulfillment of this prophetic word in Isaiah 52 to 53. We thank you, God, for a servant that suffered in such ways that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, that we might have a way out of death and out of bondage to sin and slavery. God, we thank you, Lord, that we have now the free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we look to you, God, when we give you thanks. We give you all the praise and glory and honor, and we say, Lord, our lives are yours. It is for your glory. And so we look to you and say, God, thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the birth of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the perfect life he lived. Thank you, Lord, that he went, Lord, to the slaughter like a lamb. We thank you, Lord, that he did not speak or turn away from suffering, but, Lord, he went into it because you love us, because you want to bring forgiveness of sins, because, Lord, you want a life with us. And so, Lord, we look to you and say, God, we give you all the glory and honor. Thank you, God, for the suffering of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, we're going to just continue on in this week through as we're preparing for Christmas Day. And as we remember the coming of Christ, we're also looking forward to the day that he returns. And so let's be eagerly waiting for his return. Jesus, who was a suffering servant, will now return as the glorious King. All right. Well, have a great day, and let's continue to give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.